Welcome to the Disconnected Gamers Podcast, where we reconnect with life and gaming. I'm one of your hosts, Andrew, also known as J-Bond, with me as always.
Just because it's a new year doesn't mean you have to forget about me. If you don't know me, you should know.
Your girl knows.
Girl will know.
It's your boy, Mike.
It's your boy. It's not J-Tight.
Not J-Tight. We gotta get him on the show.
That'd be cool.
Get all the testers on the show. We'll have a
show. Or at least some of them.
We'll do it. I'll have my people call their people. AKA, I'll just send them a Twitter DM. So first podcast of the new year. It is episode 51.
Ooh.
Today is Monday, January 4th. 2016, and I have not actually had to write 2016 down yet, so I haven't fucked it up and wrote 2015 and then had to like scratch over the 5 with a 6.
Right.
I did, however, purchase my first lottery tickets of the new year.
Ooh, let's win some money.
Right? Powerball is currently sitting at a it's an okay sum. I mean, it's only $400 million.
Cool, $4 million.
$400.
Oh, 400. Okay.
400, nearly a half a billion dollars.
Okay.
Yeah, that's power. So if you're a Powerball player, you should probably buy a ticket.
You should probably go, I mean, not right now. But...
Well, yeah, my guess is by the time you're hearing this, it's either been won or it hasn't won, which means it's more than $400
million
now. It's like one of the highest, like top 5, I think, jackpots ever.
I was gonna say, does it just keep going up, or do they
Yeah, every time. So it starts. Powerball and Mega Millions both start at like 40, like 20. Mm-hmm. I think Mega Millions is like 25 million with a cash option of like 12 million, which is usually the cash option is like half to like 70%. I don't know how the math works out. And then Powerball starts at 40 million. Is like that's what the minimum is. So every time somebody wins the jackpot, it resets to 40, and like Mega Millions resets to 25. And then every time people buy in tickets, that's where the money comes from that adds to the amount. And then so nobody wins, so the pool becomes bigger. So then everybody buys more tickets, and then the pool becomes bigger. And the like basically what happens is that the people who always buy the lottery tickets, even when it's low, they're the reason it gets to like 100 because nobody wins. And then like, you know, when it's like 400 million, everyone's like, fuck it, I'll spend $2 on the ticket. And then it's like, you know, when the next time it rolls over and they calculate it, it's like 470 million. Because so many more people are buying in because, you know, for $2, you know, it's worth a shot, I guess.
Right.
I think we've had this discussion before. I am the type to always play the lottery. I always play the lottery. I don't care if it's 40 million or 400.
Right.
But I know some people who are like, I only play when it's really high. And I'm like, but you know that's when everybody else is playing too.
Yeah.
So your chances are better if you play when nobody else is playing and try to go for 40 million. I mean, your chances of winning are like 1 in 300 million. So, you know, if everyone in the United States bought a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Roughly, well, I think there's 320 million people in the United States. But I digress.
Mm-hmm.
If you hadn't noticed, which, again, depends on when you're listening to this, PlayStation Network is down. They've been DDoSed, allegedly. So one person sent me a thing and said, it was an article from GameSpot, and so these hackers, and now I gotta find my tab. They didn't hack the console maliciously. They hacked it to show that, you know how like the second like a new Mac comes out or a new Windows machine or new whatever, like hackers just want to hack it not to be malicious, but to say, hey, look
just
at how
vulnerable it is.
No, not even that, but how like smart they are.
Mm.
You know, like, hey, look, I hacked your thing that you said was super secure, right? You know,
right?
To show that it's possible. So, anyways. This is from GameSpot, and it's PS4 hacked, video demonstrates console playing Pokemon. So the hacker group, they're Fail Overflow. I've never heard of them. And so it's apparently the world's first low-level hack of the PS4, and they showed a video of it at where is it? Was some sort of Chaos Communication Congress event in Hamburg, Germany. They published a 5-minute video playing Pokemon on a PlayStation. They basically they made a custom version of Linux to run on the PS4, which is that's huge, right? Because the PS4 hadn't been hacked at this point in time. The console itself, for like people to, you know, basically to like jailbreak it. It's kind of you know, the simpler way to say it. So one of my friends sent me that. Speedway had sent it over, saying that he thinks that's why that they saw that this is a thing and they've shut it down to patch the vulnerability.
That makes sense.
But I don't think that's what it is. Jimmy, he sent me a thing saying that they've been DDoSed. I don't know. He said an attack tracker was showing that they've been being hit by hit like crazy. I don't know. What attack tracker must be some sort of traffic monitor website thing, I guess. I don't know. I didn't really look it up. I took his word for it. So apparently it's just that they're being DDoSed. Somebody told me that they think it's Lizard Squad, which I thought Lizard Squad was done.
That's what I was saying, yeah. Like one of the main people or something like that got
like
taken
actually
out.
Arrested or whatever.
Yeah, should have arrested, yeah.
So those fuckers.
Yeah.
Ruining my goddamn fun. At least they left the Xbox and Steam alone.
Yeah, I just turned on the Xbox, so.
Yeah. But like, yeah, PS3, PS4, Vita, you can't log into the PlayStation app. You can't access the PlayStation like forum. Like you can go to the PlayStation forums, but you can't like log in. Like the login page is broken. Like it just doesn't work. And it hasn't. My annoyance was that the Ask PlayStation Twitter and the PlayStation Twitter basically ignored it. They never said anything until about 5 o'clock today. But I didn't have access to PSN at 10 in the morning. So And I don't know when that all started, but you got to be seriously joking with me when you tell me you're not going to tell everyone that there's some sort of major issue going on and you can't access the friggin' network.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
Like, you got to be on top of this, Sony. You've had this happen to you before, and it wasn't good. And then when you don't tell us what's going on, you make me more suspicious.
Right? So you had to basically give away near... like free stuff.
Yeah.
Essentially.
I will say this. The PSN may be partially back up. I was able to actually get the PlayStation app to let me attempt to log in. So that might be better. It wouldn't even give me a login screen. It just gave me a login screen. It's doing some computer stuff at the moment. But I don't like that the Ask PlayStation account was constantly answering people's like support questions and stuff, but they never tweeted anything about like, hey, we're working on the PSN. Like, yeah, so this was 5 hours ago. We are still working on resolving today's issues with PSN. Thank you for your continued patience. For current status, click here. And it's like 5 hours ago?
Right.
That should be almost 12 hours ago.
Yeah,
and everything says some issues are experiencing servers if you check the PlayStation Network service status website, which is just status.playstation.com.
Right.
So that's a thing. But I, like the second you have an outage and I can't access PSN and you're not telling me what's going on, I immediately am like, they got hacked and they're just trying to cover their tracks again. But like, you got to get out in front of it and be like, listen, we know it's not working. You don't have to tweet us every 2 minutes being like, hey, why isn't it work? I can't play Call of Duty, man.
Right. Yeah, like we're working on.
Sup, everybody? Can't play Call of Duty. Like, fuck, just get in front of it. Hey, we got a problem. We're working on it. We know that it doesn't work. You don't have to all tweet us. We get it.
Yeah, let us know.
Because the best is if you go to the tweets and replies on their Twitter. Like, somebody's like, hey, my account was suspended. I don't know why. And then they respond to it like, okay, DM us for information, or you should be receiving an email with suspension, whatever. And then, like, people are jumping onto those threads and being like, why is the PSN not working?
Yeah.
Because they're like, hey, I want – you responded to this person. But so that was another thing that I thought was interesting. I was going through the Ask PlayStation Twitter, and there are a ton of people who apparently are being like having their PSN account suspended.
Really?
Yeah, apparently, like, because one kid, I mean, I'm like opening them up so I can see them, but when I was going through this, I like this. This person tweeted, "Help me." They replied, "Sure, what can we help you with?" And then, of course, this one, and this is what I'm talking about. This kid says, "You guys keep answering dumb questions, but no update on the online." Then another person, "Do you have any idea at all when the network will be back up?" Then another person, "Give an ETA or an update of some kind." And then another person, "Why is it that I see you guys answering a bunch of questions and stuff? Stop dodging the question. Do you guys have an idea? Any estimates or updates when the network will be back up? Give us something, please." Like, that's exactly my thing. There should not be, like, it should not be to the point where people are jumping onto irrelevant support threads on your PlayStation Twitter to try and get you to answer the question. Why are you, why did it take you so long to just tweet one thing? It's less than, it's a maximum of 140 characters. You're telling me not a single person could draft a tweet saying, "Yeah, we know. We're working on it."
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
But there
was something.
Like, there's a ton of people that had tweeted. Oh, man, I wish I could find. Oh, this person responded in Spanish. Cool. There you go. That's good. Yeah, it's one of those things where I'm just like, I don't understand. Why are there that many people?
And you're just dodging the question like it's not a big deal.
This kid keeps posting the same meme on every thread that I'm opening to just take a look. That's funny. Yep, there it is again. Wow, this kid's just stupid. Okay, we get it, dude.
Yeah.
Okay, where's the... Anyways, yeah, there were a couple people tweeting that I kept seeing, like, "Hey, my account was suspended, and I don't know why, you know, why is it suspended? Like, how do I fix this?" And so apparently if your account gets suspended, there's an email sent to you that tells you why it was suspended, and then maybe you can appeal it or something. I don't really know how it works. Or if it's, like, is a suspension literally a temporary thing where, like, on Xbox, if you get banned, it just says, you know, expires. Hey. No, your account, you log in and it says, account suspended until, like, 12/31/99999. You know, just in case I can live to year 10,000. It's just ridiculous. Like, adding insult to injury... It automatically bans them for the next, you know, 8,000 years.
Right. See, I'm with you then. I wonder what the deal is if they're dodging it.
Yeah, well, it seems weird that they weren't just hitting it head on. I like this kid. "You really need to allow PlayStation players to change their gamer tags without having to make a new account." And then Ask PlayStation said, "That is not currently possible. Please submit your feedback and ideas in this community forum." And then, of course, "When are the servers going to be up? Fix it now. Any news when the PSN will be up and running? Can you guys follow me so that I can DM? Haha, feedback into the community. This has been asked for years. The community already knows about it." Yeah, that is true.
It's true.
But anyway, so that kind of opened my eyes a little bit, because I always kind of thought that nobody on PlayStation ever really got their accounts, like, suspended and stuff.
Yeah.
Because you never hear about it. And, I mean, even people that I've talked to... in, you know, that work for Sony have always said that they've been way less
lenient.
Well, not so much as they're more lenient, but they tend to draw as little attention to having to ban people's accounts as possible. So, like, with Microsoft, it's straight up, your account's banned, you can't appeal it, there's no discussion, there's nothing. You don't, like, there's, if your account gets banned on Xbox, that's it, like, you're out. You know, these people were like, "Hey, I went to log in and it says my account's banned, but I bought games and stuff." And they were like, "You'll get an email. If you don't get an email, go here." And I'm like, well, they're at least acknowledging that there's an issue, like that there might
be, there might be an issue,
and that maybe your suspension can be removed, which I thought was interesting. There's actually a great website and it's called like why was my Xbox like why was my gamer tag suspended or something, and it's just I don't know who's getting these screenshots, but they're like screenshots of support logs of people whose Xbox accounts have been banned, and then usually it's the reply screenshot is like the reason they were banned. So like one kid was like, I don't get why I was banned, and then it was like your profile description says message me for hacked COD lobbies. It's like your public profile that's visible to everybody.
Yeah.
You know, and then one kid was like, I got banned for vulgar language and I don't get it, and it's like his PSN name is like go fuck yourself XX Blazin 420. You know, stupid shit like that. And it's always it's always funny because I imagine that these are like 10 and 12 year old kids absolutely losing their shit, and the support people are just like, nope, no, you're guilty as charged. So I thought that has always been a fantastic little thing, just, you know.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Like it's like one of those. It's a great Tumblr blog that always just makes me laugh. I'm trying to see if I can find it. Oh, man, I'm never gonna find it. It's unlikely. I'll have to. And then the other thing I wanted to talk to you about and get your opinion, though I feel like you're like me and you probably don't care.
Depends on what it is.
Oh, I hate ads on things. I haven't had this page up forever. It'll give me new ads. So Activision Blizzard, as you may know, it's a big company. They make games. Maybe games you've heard of. One of them, Call of Duty. I don't know. I don't know if you're familiar with this one. Then another one, D. Steiny. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm.
Sounds familiar.
I think it's an original Xbox games, maybe. I'm not 100% sure.
Maybe.
Anyways, Activision Blizzard bought the majority of Major League Gaming, MLG's, assets. $46 million, which doesn't seem like that much money.
So they just have a stake in it, or?
I guess it's a majority stake.
So they essentially basically own MLG
for the
I guess they
because like the art. So this is from the Wall Street Journal, and it's Activision Blizzard Inc. acquired Major League Gaming, a well-known producer and broadcaster of video game competitions, as it works to build a new esports division. Activision Blizzard, which makes blockbusters such as Call of Duty and Destiny, said it paid $46 million in cash, which is important to note because that means they have that much money in liquid cash to spend.
All right then.
Late last month to buy the majority of Major League Gaming's assets. The other thing interesting to note is that if $46 million bought them the majority assets, that means at the very minimum, if you were to say that a majority stake was 51%, then that means that MLG is roughly worth only $92 million, because 46 times 2 would be 80 and 12, which would be 92. So if it was 51%, it would be like, you know, $93 million or whatever. But that means that MLG isn't worth. It seems like MLG would be worth more than $100 million.
But it's
to me,
not.
But it's not.
Yeah.
Because $46 million in cash got them the majority assets. I think that's weird. Because when you think about it, Activision paid $500 million to make Destiny. $100 million allegedly was just in advertising. So they paid more to advertise one game than they did to buy MLG.
Jeez.
It seems kind of crazy.
Right?
To me. I mean, again, somebody can prove me wrong. Somebody can send me stats. But from what the Wall Street Journal is saying, if they bought a majority stake for $46 million, that means that it's at the very max only worth two times that. Because you'd call it 51% and split the 1% difference and just say 46 times 2, that's only $92 million.
Right.
Odd. So, anyways, while the deal is small by Wall Street standards, I'm not the only one who thinks it, it gives Activision Blizzard a boost into the business of streaming live esports matches online. MLG.tv says that it attracts more than 20 million monthly viewers. Not unique.
So I wonder then.
20 million monthly viewers on computers, mobile devices, and video game consoles. In October, Activision created a new division dedicated to esports. The company at the time said it hired MLG co-founder Mike Sepso to help run it, along with the Steve Bornstein, who's the former head of Walt Disney Company's ESPN. Oh, okay. The former head of ESPN. That seems like a good guy. I wonder if that's why people were bringing back up the fucking guy who said, if I have to cover esports, I'll quit my job or whatever. Because he was like I think he was an ESPN sportscaster guy, and like he said, like, if I have to cover, you know, esports gaming or something, and he made like some offhanded comment about how like they're just kids who live in their parents' basements or something. But you know, obviously esports is big. I understand that esports is big. I understand that people do it. It's still kind of weird to me to look at it as a sport, but in theory, it really is a sport. It's just as competitive as anything else. It's just,
it's true.
It's different, right?
Very different.
It's different when you think of, like, you know, a football player is using a demonstration of physical abilities, whereas, like, a video game player, it's more of an intelligence thing, right? Mm-hmm. There's physical, there's dexterity, you know, you know, playing shooters or something. But like when you think of a game like League of Legends or Dota or any of those, you know, MOBAs, it's more of an intelligence thing because you have to make the decision to attack. I don't play these games, so I really can't even
talk
to
the right moves.
Yeah,
the right
like
setup,
there's a plan. There's some sort of strategy involved. You know, exactly. First person shooter, it's shoot the mans and shoot them before they shoot you.
Right.
And maybe do a 360 no scope for effect. And wall, you know, wall jumping. Do a barrel roll. So anyways, last month, rival video game company EA, Electronic Arts, announced it is also creating an esports unit of its own. Competitive video gaming is booming. Live events, blah, blah, blah. Teams vie for millions of dollars prizes. MLG, okay, so here we go. MLG largely makes money through advertising and live events. The industry itself isn't without its struggles. Activision Blizzard is paying less than the $67 million in equity funding Major League Gaming had raised. Now, I'm not a financial person. Less than the $67 million in equity funding MLG has raised. They've raised $67 million to, like, pay out or through advertising and stuff? But they're paying less,
less.
We've seen the interest in esports grow up faster than the revenue models. Under the deal, Activision will absorb the company's talent pool. Well, that's nice, because that means nobody loses their jobs. They're going to hire people in management in the coming months. So if you want to get into esports, now might be the time. Shit, I got to write myself a note to send an email to somebody. I don't do esports, but I could take a job.
Right?
Hire me! No, that was one of the things I did today before I went out on my fucking 2-hour jaunt through through the 1 to 2 inches of light, fluffy fucking snow horror show. God, I don't understand how people are like, what is this stuff? It's falling from the sky. I don't know. I should drive faster than I normally do, even though I don't think my car is currently contacting the road correctly.
Drive faster and
live faster,
swerve everywhere.
Die young or something. What is it? Live fast or die young or something. I don't know.
So
just drive slow and get to your fucking destination alive without, you know, crashing into people and causing hours worth of traffic, please. The first real snow we've had on the East Coast, and like, Shut it all down. Everybody get out of your cars. Walk. Just walk it in. We're done. We can't handle it. That's how I feel sometimes. But anyway, so that was my thing. I don't know. I mean, what's your take on esports? Just lay it out for me.
I don't think I ever really paid attention to esports that much. Like, I guess like you mentioned earlier, it's not that huge of a deal to me. But I mean, if all these companies are trying to lay claim, you know, to the throne that is esports, then more power to them. If that's how you want to get your audience, you know, then, you know, do it.
Just do it. Yeah, I don't watch.
Like, I don't think I'm going to watch a championship shooter match, you know. I don't know, whatever they're going to call it, you know.
Well, it's just the MLG between tournaments, right? But, like, I much rather prefer watching, like, one person play a game with their friends than watching, like, the competitive stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And, again, part of it also could be that I don't, like, I mean, you don't play them either. We don't play these MOBAs. I don't play League of Legends or Smite or whatever.
Yeah.
So I don't I don't get as excited about it. I personally don't care. Like,
no.
But yeah. I've watched people freaking out at PAX because this was PAX East. I was gonna say this year, but it's last year. We were all there, and I was with Nicole, one of the testers. We'll try to I'm trying to remember the whole thing. So MSI, I want to say it was MSI, had a booth that was just set up with, like, their computer stuff. And then they had a big screen, and they had, like, 10 computers or I don't know, however many, 4 and 4, 5 and 5, 6, whatever the, like, League of Legends was.
And 5 on 5, I don't know.
Yeah, so whatever. So they had, like, two team setups.
And you told me about this.
They were picking people from the crowd to play. And so Nicole went up and she played on the team, on one of the teams. And I think she did it twice and she lost the first time, but she won the second time. But whatever. And people were losing their minds watching this game. And I'm sitting there like, none of this makes any sense to me. I see a guy walking on a thing. He's now fighting these people. He's doing things like, but I guess he won. Yay. But then like, none of it makes any sense to me. But like, I see that people like love it.
Oh, yeah.
They go nuts for it. So whatever. I mean, you know, but even like as somebody who likes Counter-Strike a lot, I don't know that I would be watching competitive matches.
Yeah. I mean, like, I watch Evo, the fighting stuff. I'm into that, but.
Well, that's esports, you know? That's
right.
My thing is Activision Blizzard buying it. My guess is
they're going to make Iron Banner a permanent thing now?
They're not going to make Iron Banner a permanent thing.
Not Iron Banner, Crucible, whatever.
Sure, but it leads you to believe, or it leads me to believe. I don't. You can make a decision, and listeners can make a decision. It leads me to believe that Activision wants to push competitive for their games, right? So it's Activision Blizzard. Blizzard is, that's World of Warcraft, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that means that's Hearthstone, right?
Heroes
so they're
of the Storm,
Hearthstone. So yeah. So they wanna, they're gonna wanna probably owning MLG allows them to kind of shape MLG around the products they have, which then again, like I said, leads you to believe that they're going to maybe with Destiny 2 or maybe the next, you know, big expansion update to Destiny involves some sort of competitive mode, competitive aspect. Because, like, right now, there isn't a way to, you know, do really competitive anything, right? It's not like you can set up private matches, private lobbies, rule sets, anything like that. Whereas Halo has always had the competitive aspect. You know, that's why Halo has become, I think Halo was the first, I think when Hug and I were talking about it, or Halo was like the first game from MLG to become a thing. So, you know, maybe this is Activision's move to kind of bring that competitive element to all their games. It exists with World of Warcraft and Heroes of the Storm and Hearthstone.
Oh, yeah. Wisconsin,
It's
whatever.
just, you know, Call of Duty has competitive. Destiny, I think, would be the one big title that they don't really have a competitive kind of thing.
Right.
But either way, I mean, I think it's, I don't know, I think they probably were just thinking,
you know,
we can afford it.
It's bringing that crowd, yeah.
We can afford it, clearly. You know, does it matter if we spend this money on it? No. You know? If they spent $100 million to advertise Destiny, spending $46 million to buy an entire esports operation seems like...
Clearly.
And if they're keeping the talent pool, according to the Wall Street Journal article, they're just literally becoming the owners of it, and it's not like they have to necessarily fire and hire everybody. They only have to add on to do whatever it is that they have in mind. So I don't see that as being, like, the worst thing in the world.
No. You either have an extended job or the same job or whatever they had planned.
Right. Yeah, you're either going to stay...
Or not extended, but I mean, you know.
Yeah. No,
whatever.
So that was the only, I mean, there's other like news stuff, I guess, but that was the only like kind of biggish thing that I thought was worth talking about. I mean, esports, it's a thing.
X BioShock devs introduce you to Perception. Just looking around at articles.
Yeah.
I'll check that out later. I don't know if that's worth talking about.
Hated. So no, that's fine. I mean, those were the only two things I really wanted to talk about was the PS4 being hacked as it related to the
right.
PlayStation Network being down, which I mean, I want to turn my PS4 on, but I don't because I'm going to be disappointed. And then the Activision MLG thing. That was kind of it. The only other thing that I was going to ask you about was whether or not you finished Metal Gear Solid 5.
Nope, still on Chapter 2. And they kind of throw some deja vu at you, though. Like, I did a specific mission. I'm like, wait a minute, I did this already. And then it ends, and it's different. I'm like, wait a minute. What's going on? Why'd you do that? So, I don't know. Konami, Kojima, bunch of weirdos. That's all I'm gonna say. That's all I'm gonna say. They're a bunch of weirdos.
Yeah.
To answer your question, I did not. I have not finished it yet.
How? What's your percentage on trophies? Have you looked at that?
No, I have not. I would check, but. Said
right, PSN, yeah, networking. When I finished Fallout the other night, I finally finished Fallout 4 story,
nice.
The main story. I finally finished the main
story. Yeah,
I had 80% of the trophies,
ooh,
which I thought was pretty good. I thought I'm okay with having
that
more
was your
than,
first run. What
first run? Yeah,
nice.
So my whole thing though is that I am okay with a game giving me at least 70% of the trophies on my first run.
First run. Right.
I'm not okay with only having like 30% of the trophies after playing through the game once. Like
right.
I know that some games are absurd and they're just like,
oh,
hey,
yeah,
you can't have them because
basically almost forcing you to play multiple playthroughs or whatever, essentially. Depending on the game, I guess.
You're right.
So I know there were some games that are like that, but
yeah,
anyways.
I was gonna try and open up the app, and then I decided it's not worth it because the PSN's
and
probably not gonna load for me. Yeah, so I had 80% of the trophies. I know for a fact one of the trophies I'm missing is I haven't found all the magazines and I haven't found all the bobbleheads.
Mm-hmm. I need to do that.
But there's a trophy for finding like 10 bobbleheads, and I think I should have that trophy, but apparently I do not. The other thing is that I know somebody had told me that you don't have to make multiple save files, right? You don't have to make multiple.
To get specific endings or whatever.
But you do. Like some of the trophies are absolutely for siding with certain factions over others. So like I may just have to go backtrack to an earlier save that I have because I have like 50 different saves. but I don't have to replay the entire game.
No, yeah, it's true.
And as far as I know, you can find all the bobbleheads regardless of what decision you make.
Right.
So there's no bobbleheads that are in like a place where like if you leave before you do something that you're completely screwed.
Yeah, you can't go back, yeah.
So that's nice. I like that. But yeah, I was psyched to see that I had 80% of the trophies. Because I feel like there's a level of completion that I'd like to have in every game. You know,
majority
I'd like
of
to...
games, man.
Well, that's my thing, right? I've beaten the game and completed 80% of the things that they think are necessary for me to complete, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I do 50 side missions, I think there's a trophy for that. And I honestly feel like I've got to be close because all I did was side quests for so long.
Right.
So I'm thinking that one's probably close. There's another one for you got to get the happiness of your settlement to 100%.
A settlement or all settlements?
Just one.
Oh, okay. That works.
Yeah, it's not impossible. I'm at like 80% on two settlements that I never actually...
check
anything.
Out.
Yeah, I never like
do you ever go back and build anything or
yep. Oh, yeah.
Whatever.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, I haven't messed with it yet.
I built in Sanctuary, I built a sick ass house and I gave myself a pool table and I went and got all the pool balls and pool cues. Damn. I don't have like the correct number of pool balls. Like I have the 9 that you need and a cue ball, but like I have like 4 8 balls and you know, 3 whatever, you know, 9, yeah. Whatever. Like, they're not, I don't have all the individual numbers. I just have enough
right.
pool balls for what I'm supposed to have. It's like, you can't play pool anyways. It's just there.
Oh, yeah.
It's just an
it's just
object.
Mm-hmm.
I had built a nice little liquor cabinet, and I'd put all the bottles up, and I'd stage them all nice. And then I left, and when I came back to my settlement, they were all, they were just all over the place. Like the bottles didn't stay on the table.
Oh.
Like the game glitched and they were just everywhere.
That so or someone ransacked the house.
No. All the items were there. They were just like, they had like fallen through the table. The same thing happened with the pool table. Like the pool balls were all like sunk into the table.
Weird.
Yeah. So the only way to fix it is to move everything and then pick it all up and then put them back on. So I was like, forget it.
Too much work.
Yeah, because yeah, I could have spent like 45 minutes trying to make like one stupid
solid,
liquor cabinet.
Yeah.
Not a good use of my time.
Oh, yeah. My buddy made a tree house or tree fort or something like that is what he said.
Yeah. I have a really cool, like a nice house that I built and then for myself. And then I built another house that's just like beds and tables. But I have like electricity. I have lights. I spent a lot of time. I got a ton of food, power, water, the works.
Nice.
There
you go.
Got a working TV. Or at least it was working last time I'd been there. But that's, I don't know. I hate that there are some quests, and I mean, this is a Fallout thing. And as a person.
Repeated quests?
Not repeated quests. Those ones don't annoy me as much, where it's like, I just helped this farm. Let me go kill these raiders again. The fact that like it forces you to make decisions, right? And you generally don't get a choice. It's like, you know, if you go to this place, you immediately become an enemy of this faction. Do you want to continue? And it's like, continue or do nothing. And it's like, well, if I do nothing, I can't finish the damn game.
True.
So why don't you just tell me, are you ready to permanently become an enemy of this thing?
Right.
Because,
yeah.
Like
if
it's not
you
like
back out.
Yeah, like there was one mission where I literally showed up and got to the checkpoint and the game was like the faction that I showed up to, because I was like, oh cool, these guys are here, whatever, and they turned around, they were like, why are you here? And
oh, wow.
I was like, was I not supposed to go here? The checkpoint thing brought me here. And then it updated and was like, failed this mission, new mission, and it was just kill them all. And I was like, ah.
Oh.
So I killed them all and I went on with it, but it was like, you know,
why?
I was like, I'm like, was I not supposed to go there and I would have triggered that mission pathway? Like, that stuff's annoying. I mean, it's whatever it did. I don't think it really changed much in the way of the game. Like, I think the end story, the end thing that happens in the game is the same for everybody. I think it's just whether or not you align with different factions along the way. And, like, there are certain things in the game that made me an enemy of a faction just because I chose them. I'm trying not just to spoiler it just because I'm sure there's some people who haven't finished the game.
That happens, yeah.
That, I think, is kind of a bummer.
I agree.
But it's, like, it isn't the, I mean, it's not the end of the world. I'll
no.
Just move on.
No pun intended.
Wow. Wow, yeah, I guess so. It's not the end of the world, but or is it? I don't know. War never changes. Or does it? I also made myself really, really depressed last night.
Uh-oh.
So I fired up the PS4. And I scrolled over to Uncharted 4 beta. And I opened it.
And it told you no?
It told me no.
Dang.
It's harsh. It's okay. I'm gonna pull through it. Delayed till fucking April.
December of this year?
No, April. They delayed it till April. It was March.
Oh no, it would have been December.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Never mind. But then okay.
December, then to March, and then instead of March it's April. It's an extra 30 days. It's whatever, but
hey, as long as the game works.
That my thing is that's the same thing I said about, and like I've had probably the exact same response to when The Last of Us got delayed. Fuck you, I can't believe you're delaying it. And then I take a minute and I go, you know what? If they need the time to make the game better, I'd rather the game work.
It's true.
Than get a game that doesn't work. Because I mean
a game is pretty. It's
yeah,
broken.
Well, we play Drive Club all the time. Like, Drive Club's totally my favorite game after it took a fucking year to come out, and then when it came out, it was broke as fuck. Totally.
Fair enough.
However, to the game's credit, it did pick up a following, and it sold 2 million copies.
Yeah, good for them.
But
I'm not against that.
I was so put off by all the crap that we went through with that stupid game. Feel free to go back to, like, the first, I think, 3 podcasts we ever did where, like, it was just us shitting on
Drive Club and Destiny.
Yeah, it was we shit on Drive Club and Destiny, and it's like, which game do I still play? Destiny. Which game do I still not play? Drive Club.
Drive Club.
Yeah, but which one arguably is the, like, better game? I don't know. You know, I get far more out of Destiny than I get out of Drive Club. It's cool. Every once in a while, I'll fire it up and I'll jump into like an Aston Martin and just kind of leisurely drive around in the game, just because it's nice to look at and enjoy the.
It's a gorgeous looking game. I will give it that.
That's the thing, right? It's a good looking game, but like I'm just like meh. I just because every time I'm like, oh, remember that time we all tried to race and it never worked?
Yeah, I'm good. I'll skip it.
Yeah, so I just. You know, wow, I saved $10 when I bought it because of the PS Plus discount, but then it never worked. So.
Okay, well, the multiplayer never worked.
Yeah, that's true.
The game worked, it's just meh. Like,
yeah, I don't want to play by myself.
Delivered.
Yeah.
Promises weren't delivered. You told me. I played the game. I'd be able to play with my friends.
45.
I was not able to play with my friends.
Yeah. That was. Yeah. After I spent 25 minutes in a goddamn loading screen. What? And then Evolution Studios going to tell me we are actively working to address the situation. What? No, Craig.
Yeah. Bro,
I looked the Drive Club menus for 40. Yeah. Anyways, just that game. It's a good game. It's just you can't. I can't play games that dick me over.
I can't bring myself to play it.
You know, like Destiny. It worked when the game came out. You know that it worked. There's no one who can argue that the game launched and worked. Did it have a crap story? Did it maybe not have the best multiplayer? But it worked. Yeah. I could do all of the things in the game. All of them. All of the things in the game I could do.
It's true.
So the game was fine.
Yeah.
Right.
Halo Master Chief Collection, I don't go back and play it. Why? Because I'm so frustrated at how much time I spent waiting around to try and join my friends to play online. The whole reason I bought the damn game, the console itself, the purchase was predicated on the idea that me and my buddy from college were going to be able to play Halo, old school Halo 2, and like that was going to be a way for us to like connect and hang out, even though he's in California and I'm here in Boston.
Right.
You know? So it was like, I can't believe that like I spent this money on this thing and this game doesn't work.
It's like, well,
the other part of it too, and it's not that the Xbox is, I'm not picking on the Xbox. Most of my friends have PlayStation. So where do you think you're going to find me? On PlayStation.
Sure.
You know, most of the games I own are on PlayStation. So it's more likely that you will find me on the PlayStation and not the Xbox. Does that mean I don't play Xbox games? No.
Oh.
But
right.
I, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I found myself going back more to PlayStation again, but I still do use my Xbox.
Yeah. I mean, I turned it on the other day just to...
Falls my jam.
What did I turn it on for? I wanted to check updates, and I wanted to grab the Games with Gold. That was it.
Oh, yeah. I think First Season Killer Instinct is free right now, so if anyone doesn't...
I think I already had that.
Well...
But yeah, Killer Instinct...
The free version of Killer Instinct, you had no characters. You got the rotation characters.
Mm.
The first season, you get all the first season characters for free.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I might have to go download that then.
Because
That is... I honestly don't remember. I just remember Killer Instinct was free at the time I got my console.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a free-to-play version with free rotated characters.
Mm. Also, funny story. Only because I was thinking about a year ago when I got the Xbox. So the resume that I had sent out, the first draft of my resume that I'd sent out to everybody... I put that we started the podcast in November, right? Because we did. We started in November.
Yeah.
We started in November of 2014, and I put November of 2015.
Oh.
Because I was rereading it when I went to send it out again today, and I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe I missed this.
Crap.
Because they're all like, oh, so we started a podcast a month ago. And it's like, no, yeah. It's a year and a month ago. It's a year and a month, guys. Come on. Like, and I feel like the likelihood
totally just
of
throw out 50 episodes in a month.
The likelihood that they're going to like look at the podcast is probably less likely. It's just one of those things that it's there as something that I do, right? It's there, it's linked, they can go look. But they're think like they might see and be like, okay, so
I
you
hope
just
they
started
check
the podcast.
And they're like, wait.
Yeah, because then they'd be like, there's 50 episodes. What is he doing? Him once a day?
Yeah, like what's going on?
So hopefully it's fixed. It's fixed now. And then like I went over tooth and comb to double check and make sure I didn't have the dates wrong on anything else.
All the dates are correct.
But that's that.
Right.
That's
great.
Anybody who's planning on attending PAX East, if you're trying to go as media registration still has not opened. So keep waiting.
Well, just exhibitor,
and then they've already sold out of the like regular attendee badges. Yeah, they usually don't open the press registration until after all the tickets are sold, anyways. But my guess is maybe they're not opening media registration until after PAX South,
because
they've exhibitor's been opened for a bit. Yeah, PAX South is this month. I think it's the 24th, like that weekend. Exhibitor registration's open. You can submit panels, which I'm also doing. Hopefully, there'll be another. I'll be on another panel at PAX East, and then I can say that I've done both.
So people that can't attend PAX can just watch some of the panels.
Oh, they only stream like the important ones.
Oh,
yeah, they stream some of the important ones. Otherwise, it's not like.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Fair enough.
Yep. Yeah, so that is one of the things that they said. I don't know in theory that I couldn't be like set up a laptop with a camera in the first row of seats and like stream it myself. I bet you they have some rule that you can't do that. But there's probably no rule that says I can't, like, Periscope it from my phone. And just be like, hey, check, we're Periscoping this thing live.
Right?
I wouldn't do that because it would probably destroy my phone battery and data-wise. If you could even get a connection good enough to do it. Because, I mean, PAX...
Convention centers don't have the best.
Yeah, PAX is notorious for having some of the worst Wi-Fi and the worst cellular data ever.
Right.
It's fine. I mean, I've learned to figure out how to navigate it. So, rule number one, carry a battery backup for your phone because you're going to kill your battery. It's little PAX tips for everybody. and two, you'll look dumb doing this, but I swear it works. Either hold your phone down by your leg or hold it up in the air. Because everyone's cell phone is at the same rough level because you're all holding it in your hands while you're looking and walking.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I swear if you just raise that phone up like 2 feet, you're above all those radio waves and yours get out. and that's my story and I'm sticking to it. In a sea of radio waves, yours will be about 2 feet higher than everybody else's. I cannot confirm nor deny there's any, like, legitimate argument for that to be a truthful statement, but my tweets make it out. So
there you go. Works it works.
It absolutely does. I stand by it. So yeah, PAX South, I believe, is at the end of the month in Texas. I will not be there, unfortunately, unless I win the lottery.
Right?
But be big pimping all over that place if I win the lottery.
Standing outside because I'm sure it's been sold out for like ever.
Yeah, but if I won the lottery, I'd be like, I'll give you $1,000 for your tickets. I would walk up to the first fucking person I saw and been like, $1,000 cash for your badge.
Flash of money, like, you don't want to go to PAX.
Right? And they would, and you know that there's no person who's going to be like, I can probably go buy a scalped ticket off somebody for like $100.
Right?
But I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to wait. The other reality is that I would just submit for media and be like, hey, listen, I didn't know I was going to make it. Is there any chance of still getting a badge? And, you know,
true.
They could say yes, they could say no, but.
Right.
You know, and to my other fellow podcasters out there, I encourage you to do the same, because podcasts count.
Do it.
My friends over at the Crazy Sunshine podcast, whom I met at PAX Prime last year. Good people.
Nice.
Good people. If you like anime and gaming, they have pretty good podcasts. They're my shout out for the because we're kind of, I mean, I've run out of anything intelligent to say, which everyone's probably going, yeah, you mean like every podcast that you do, Andrew? Fuck you. You don't know me. That my shout out for the week is to the Crazy Sunshine podcast. My first shout out of the year. They're good people.
Word.
I like them. If you're going to listen to my podcast, our podcast, I don't want to say my podcast. It's not mine. It's ours.
It's the people's podcast.
The people. The people's podcast. No, it's John Cena's podcast. Da, 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 da.
Oh, God.
I really hope that should
be our guest at the end of 2016, John Cena.
We got John Cena on the podcast.
No one would listen.
The whole time I would just be going, da, 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 da,
probably.
Da, da. He'd be like, you can ask me anything you like, just please stop.
Stop
doing that.
Stop singing my music. Yeah, I hear it enough as it is.
That would be cool. Unlikely, but cool.
That or try to get the testers, like you were saying.
I think we can get the testers on the show.
Our testers.
I don't know that we can get all of them on the show at once, because I don't know how logistically we would do a Skype call with, like, eight people. Because,
right.
Like, the only testers I know, which...
Just pick our favorite.
Would be...
Achilles.
Dude, don't tell me I have to pick my favorites, okay? You're putting me in a very
Achilles.
Uncomfortable position.
Achilles might, Achilles might, Achilles might, Achilles might, Achilles might.
Yeah,
really,
like
done.
so we could get that's the thing, right? So like we could get like if we could get like season three, but then see Doc is season one.
Oh yeah, see Doc is cool too. No, Doc was two, I thought.
Was Doc two? I thought he was one. Either way, Doc would come on. Doc wanted me to help him set up his podcast because he wanted to start doing a podcast again since PS Home doesn't exist. Cool. So we'll get him on the show.
Doc would be pretty sweet.
And I'll talk to Doc. We'll get him on the show. And then the other testers too. It's like it's a time thing, and it's a
because
like some of the testers are on our time zone, but most are not.
Most are not, yeah.
And then you've got the 3-hour delay thing, which kind of throws things off. It's not terrible. It's not like impossible to work with. It's just
right.
Plus the Skype call thing with multiple people to have everyone on the show at once would be tough.
Would be kind of crazy.
I think we could
probably get
like one each episode and pick like a topic.
There you go. That'll work. Yeah.
So
we'll aim for that then.
Yeah.
We'll aim for that.
Yeah, so I think, I don't know, was there anything else you'd like to say to the peoples for the first episode of the year?
Keep listening, and please, tweet, message, DM, whatever, let us know what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong, what we need to fix, what we need to change, what Andrew should do, what I should do, what we should talk about, you know, comments. Something like give us something. Let us know that you actually are listening.
The statistics tell me that people are listening. The comment section does not.
Right,
unfortunately,
that's what I want. I want people to actually comment and be like, "Yo, I like
YouTube."
You guys.
I feel like we're gonna find slowly but surely that more people will probably comment on the YouTube. So if you go to youtube.com/c/thedgcast, I do post all the episodes there as well. And it seems like YouTube maybe is the more accessible platform for people. So like, don't feel like you've got to figure out how to comment reviews on iTunes, though I would appreciate it because it helps boost the ratings of the podcast.
It's true.
You know, or if you don't have a Twitter, that's fine. And we don't have a Facebook page because I'm lazy. But you can go to the YouTube and comment on the YouTube videos. You can go to the website and comment on the website itself. I think you have to log in a thing, but you don't have to have like an account. It's dumb. It's just the way WordPress works.
I assume if it's the way another website I've been to works, I think it's you can use your Twitter or Facebook account, I think, to comment.
Right.
Like log in and something like that. Yeah.
So,
yeah. Feedback. That's all I want. Give us feedback in some form.
So that's all I was going to say. I don't know where I was going with that. But you can comment. Comments, likes, subscribes. Follow the Twitch channel, twitch.tv/dgcasttv. Twitter at the DGcast. I'm at, so after I said, Mike is at mtong1. The podcast is on iTunes. You're listening to it. You know that. You're already subscribed, or you're going to subscribe. Wink, wink, hint, hint.
Use Jedi mind tricks.
Yeah. But again, like you can just subscribe on YouTube and you'll get the same notifications.
It's true.
I've posted like one or two game videos because I'm still dumb and don't quite get it. I think I've figured out a replicatable method of recording gameplay with audio and being able to like tweak things if things aren't right. I have not tested it. But I kind of tested it, but I haven't created a video from it. I've just recorded two sets of things to see if like one way is better than the other, and I'm figuring it out as we go. Basically, what's going to happen is I'm going to start trying to do maybe little gaming video reviews of games so that we'll talk about games on the podcast, but they'll also be like, you know, 5 or 10 minute game review of like a Steam game or a PS4 or whatever, Xbox, Wii U, that I'll try and put up on the website as on the YouTube as well, just so that there's other content other than just the podcast. You know, reviews on products. I mean, the problem is I never buy anything, so it's unlikely that you're gonna see me like reviewing tons of like video game accessories and products.
Right.
You know, but if you're a video game company and you're listening, I mean, you can send me stuff and I will review it. But
against it.
It's one of those things, like, I find myself to always be the type of person that's like, yeah, that would be fantastic to have, but I don't need it, so I won't buy it. Like, it's not a necessity. It's like, trust me, you know how many times I wished I had, like, a USB hub? And I'm like, I'll just unplug something.
Yeah, basically.
And then it's like, then I'm always like, why is my controller dead? Oh, because it's plugged into the controller, but the other end isn't actually plugged into the thing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't like wireless headsets, so I have a wired headset. And it's like, but then when I want to use it for streaming, I got to put it in the Alpha. When I want to use it on the PS4, I got to put it in the PS4. When I want to use it to record the podcast, I got to put it on my laptop.
Wireless headsets. Like, you can have both, you know, like one for one and one for this.
But
actually,
that is kind of excessive. My thing is like, then I got to buy three headsets when I can just move the USB.
Right.
That's the thing. And if it was wireless, I would still have to move, like, the dongle thing.
That or, like, a dedicated mic for gaming and dedicated mic for recording.
Right.
Slash work.
But I'm just
that way,
like,
you don't have to move,
But I'm always
anything.
Just like,
yeah,
I could just
more
unplug
of that.
It.
I had to buy it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like, is the cost of another nice headset worth the effort it takes for me to move a couple USBs around and stuff?
Right.
And it's like, usually the answer is no.
Yeah,
but
so
maybe
someone
one day.
It's to, you know, maybe. Send you a headset. Wink,
yeah,
wink,
wink, wink. Astro Gaming, wink, wink.
Hint, hint. Nudge, cough, cough.
Nudge.
Yeah. saying he's against it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I see. I'd love to review like watches, but that's just because I like watches. But my thing is I'd be like 10 out of 10. It looks awesome, and it tells me the time.
yeah.
Like, it's not like I'd
works.
Be like, yeah, it worked. Anyways, I'm trailing on, so I'm just gonna stop. Thank you for listening. Like, we're gonna kick off 2016, and I've been streaming more. I'm more on top of getting the YouTube videos posted up on time. This podcast is gonna go up hopefully tonight, which is Monday. So you'll be listening to it Tuesday or the following days or whenever. But like I said, feel free to follow us on Twitter at the DGCast. Follow me at So After I Said. Follow Mike at MTong1. YouTube.com/C/TheDGCast. Twitch.tv/DGCastTV. I think that's it. I am calling it good. It has
signing
been
out.
Episode 51. This is the Disconnected Gamers Podcast. We will catch you
on the flip. This wheel contraption.
What is this thing with wheels that I drive every day? My brain has forgotten. Something is falling from the sky. It is white. But I do not know what it is. It feels cold when it touches me. Anyways.